You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
On fakeologist.com.
What do you want the topic to be? I mean, I'll get it rolling if you want, but I can't stick around. What do you want the... Oh, shit.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio. It's the 14th of the 11th, 2018. It's 10 past 10 in the evening, Greenwich Mean Time. This is Napoleon Wilson. I'm joined by Faye, Matty, Original Simulant.
And Rachel.
Rachel, but she's just left then, so she'll be back soon. But good evening, Faye. Good evening.
Good evening, Napoleon, Matty, Original. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes.
And I think you should introduce this face in as you're the one who's currently got your finger on the pulse and this is all new to me, so...
Okay. Yes, I'm trying to do an introduction. It is about the latest discussion that erupted over at cluesforum.info. And it is about, it is in the tail, let's say, discussion about the latest bar shooting that was, please remind me, I didn't follow that one very closely. But in the aftermath of that analysis about that fake or staged or psyop or hoax event, there was a post by Kahem on September Clues, cluesforum.info, with which a whole discussion started about suspicion and how to handle suspicion, which has to do with how trustworthy are statements from other people that are in the surrounding of cluesforum.info, but also fakeologist.com. It is quite similar to an event that happened back in March and April 2018 on Fakeologist Discord mainly, but also on fakeologist.com on the website, with J.R. Adams, who in that period of time brought the story or whatever about an alleged motorbike accident. And he was, of course, scrutinized very intensely because that is actually what fakeologists do. And I think it was a very good discussion, even though the discussion had as a result that several people left and nobody was sure who is a shill and who is not a shill. And all this is one very, very big and interesting discussion, which I have myself experienced as not soluble. I could not find the solution, and there was diving even deeper into the several hypothetical connections and hypotheses of who could be connected to with what agendas. And this resulted for me, for example, that I left the platform, and I left also the Fakeology website, and I left also cluesforum.info. And I was absolutely sure that 99.9% of the avatars that are here around are actually in some kind of paid entertainment or paid job, not 100% by some intelligence services. Maybe it's just some media outlet or whatever. And so I just joined some days ago, I'm not sure. My first discussion was with Rachel and Napoleon and Dorigina. And then this topic came and I found it very interesting to try to discuss it with my new knowledge or methods or instruments that I have found for myself in order to handle this whole situation with who is a shill or who is not, or what does it mean and what does it not. That's just an introduction, and I will introduce the topic then if you are interested in that, but we can also talk something else if you would like.
Yeah, it was a pretty brilliant overview. So that then does beg the question, how do you deal with these? This is another one of those situations then, when someone from within the circle, within the community, so to speak, comes along and says, that is real. But by doing that, then it's going to be scrutinized. That's in the position we are with these at the moment. From what I can gather, I haven't looked at it very much, but just the superficial look, I can see that, you know, for Felix and for Unreal, this is clearly another face, and others are looking at it still. So for others, it's fine. You know, it can be real. It's not.
It's always an interesting. It's like epistemology. How do you know what you know? Study of what you
absolutely
know.
Absolutely. Yeah, it goes right down to core. Something, the core, the heart of.
And Faye's talking about how she, or at least hinted at having maybe developed some kind of.
Instrumentarium.
Some epistemology of her own or instruments to aid in search. But really the thing about what's, you know, fakeology, what I'm interested in, you know, is that you figuring out, you know, how do you know what is real as opposed to what is fake? Like, you can always assume that everything is fake, but then how do you know what's real? Mm-hmm. Or you can assume everything's real, but a brutal, naive position, you know, which not very
identity,
so.
Yeah, and everything seems to conspire to pull you to one of those polarizations, you know, to one or the other, rather than staying in a liminal middle ground, which is where we actually spend most of our time. I just wanted to know, is this event then a big media? I mean,
which one?
Usually, I think that's for me the first question. You know, event that's been purported to be real, for either of them, either KM's event, which I've looked at all, or the one that I've posted, how big a media event are they? That's the next question. So this,
mm-hmm.
I always think that's because it's a big media event, and if people are profiting off it, and if it's being manipulative, then you've got grounds for thinking there's fakery involved, definitely. It's just a report comes and goes. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. It's been something for Felix. He'll follow that and find that.
You think if you kind of like have axioms. So if you would agree that, and you don't have to agree to this, but if you would agree that some people are, and that the things that affect famous people, certain things, are the same things that affect non-famous people, like chance or fate or whatever, or accident, you know, then there's reason to think that certain things wouldn't be completely impossible, right? Like, so if it were true that a non-famous person could step out in front of a car and be hit by accident and killed, it could also probably be true that a famous person might suffer the same fate, right? Mm-hmm. So if that were to happen, one would think that that would be a big media news thing, you know, some famous person hit by a car accidentally killed. So, but that alone doesn't really disqualify, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of an arbitrary, I suppose, right? Because why would just by virtue of the infamy, you know, the thing that can affect anyone not affect that, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's called plausible deniability from the other end, isn't it? And then, I mean, what are your tools? This is what we're groping around for. So
I actually have not a set of tools which I can offer. I can only say, one of the conclusions that I made in these two months it was, where I was out of the network, platforms, etc., and also not following, because following your the whole dialogue, so I missed also discussions. But one of the conclusions was that ecology is an interesting idea, but it's not something like a real concept. It's an approach, it's an optic, it's a perspective to view a specific media, mostly or maybe only media events, to analyze them, trying to break them down to their fakery content. Of course, that's not all. It's much more, it's a philosophized understanding, and it's created by these people that are creating this since these years, after Fakeologist started. But it is not meant to be something like a science of fakery or something like that. That's not the way it works. My conclusion was that this let's say analysis or perspective or deconstruction of media events from the fakeology perspective, let's call it, is not enough. Concretely, it's not enough because it is a technique, materialistic reconstruction of images, of moving images, of text. It does not enough contextualize the events, maybe because the events themselves are not worth contextualizing them, because they are just having an agenda of, I don't know, something in a neighborhood in some city, but there are also bigger ones. I mean, the approach is mostly from these technical views and less from the broader politico phenomenological or whatever. I'm sorry for that.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Because what you mean is also it raises many questions in itself. It's a service. It shows you things that are people doing research that yourself you haven't got time for, that you can then you can read that and you can see that. You can follow where it goes. You're keeping a tab on things from all sides. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does beg the question, and why they're doing this? What's going on? Why is this? So these are aspects of social engineering. Obviously, we're trying to sort of
whatever that means.
Whatever that means. Yeah. So it begs many more questions than it answers.
Yes, and that is something that I missed, and which I think contributes to this possibility to view everything under suspicion, also in the discussions that we are conducting here, or what is the word? Because, for example, if we have to analyze, is this now real or is it not real? Look, he laughs like that, or that's interpretation, of course. And in the end, the starting position of the fakeological, let's say, perspective, as we called it, because we have no better term, actually states always it is fake unless you prove it to be real. If it's in the media, or if it has an impact, or if it comes from a source that is having an agenda, it is always not real until you prove it real. So there is no necessity to start analyzing then why if someone is laughing or not laughing or crying or not crying. This would be completely unnecessary unless the discussion would include reasoning or hypothesis about reasoning better, because everything is hypothetical in this field. No? And this applies also, of course, to the statements that we are doing about specific events that we are talking about. So if someone says, I don't know myself, somebody who was in the towers, but I have heard from someone in my neighborhood that he knew somebody who was in the towers, I have to analyze that, you know. I have to analyze it. It means something. No information that is coming here is without meaning. It comes here because this is the field where these events, these false and manipulative and on purpose constructed to mislead the public consciousness about what is going on in their world, this is the place where this things are being discussed. So every word is important. That's what I'm saying. But we have to find out. We have to discuss what exactly is the importance of that. So to maybe bring it back to the topic that rose my attention in this discussion about the expression of Kehem, I will just now propose to view it as a series of information that erupted. There was the event of this, what was the place where this fake shooting happened? Or Florida, or what was it? Yesterday, or the other day? You don't remember? I don't remember too. In the aftermath of that verified fake event, Kehem wanted to present a strong argument why the description of one of the witnesses of that fake event could not be true. And she used as an argument, as a as an enhancement of her own statement, that she herself had really experienced a bar shooting, and that she could compare the reactions of eyewitnesses. In the following, this was disputed or questioned or scrutinized, I don't know if that's the better word, by observer on cluesforum.info. And the reactions were very interesting, and in the same moment, Fakeologist posts an event on Fakeologist.com, which was without taking position himself. He said it could be real, but he didn't say it was real. It could be real, but the relation of these information steps do mean something. So, for example, the posting of app on Fakeologist.com with "this could be real" is, for somebody who interprets the whole context, a statement which enhances the argument of Kehem that she had experienced bar shooting without him stating it openly. It was an enhancement of the kind of supplying another example where really something can happen that can be real, and it is not always wrong to use it as an example for our experience.
Yeah, so, to be fair, he did the same thing with the truck crashes, didn't he? Posted real truck crashes if he thought they looked real to compare with the truck crash that he was investigating. And,
yes, that's true.
So he does do that. See, but I see what you mean. It is interesting that they fall together. Boom, boom. So, yeah, okay, this is interesting.
No, it's exactly like you say. He posted possibly has the meaning, he states it as possible, as real. And he wants to compare it not with a similar one, but with a completely not similar one that Kehem could have experienced a bar shooting. You know, that is I don't know.
Was that the first time she'd mentioned it? When was she in this bar shooting?
We should come. We should go. Really, I have opened the post really so that we can read them.
Defend yourself or anything. We don't know.
No, it's not about defending. We are not accusing anyone. We are just talking, and we have to talk about these things openly, and we have to analyze them. It is not about accusing anything or anybody. It's just about making better hypotheses. That's all.
To really test that hypothesis, we'd need a real event that you actually really know is real that you could put in and see how everyone reacted. I don't really want a real event.
that would be a good point for a start, because actually I do not believe that a real experience of anything can be compared to a real experience of anything else. Of anybody else, because every experience is absolutely singular. And that's the meaning of experience. If I experience an accident with a car or with a motorbike or a shooting or whatever, or war or a demonstration, this is not comparable to anyone's other experience. It's not possible to compare experience. That's the meaning of experience. Experience is singular. It's the singularity of your own existence that is able to make this experience as such. And nobody else can have, in the same point of time and in the same event, nobody has the same experience than you have.
Leading you
Siamese twins.
Pardon?
Siamese twins. There you go. You can have the same experience.
No, I mean, for example, if you really...
I'm joking.
Okay. I'm just thinking. I'm just continuing thinking. If you take into consideration how... Not that I'm proposing it now as a concept that is... take any discussion with a person that you are asking about an experience that he or she had. You will be really impressed by the unexpected information that you get, because experience is not focusing on the narrative. Experience is not telling, I was behind the tree and then the car came and then it took me to the street and then I broke my legs. That's not the experience. That's only the story. That's how media work. That's not how experience works. So if somebody tells you a story, you can recognize if it's an experience or if it's just a story. And that's something that we do always with psyops, because we see the witnesses that are talking bullshit. They are not talking about experiences. They are talking about scripted stories that are maybe literary somehow... expanded or made better, but very poorly and very bad most of the time, so that you can recognize it immediately that it is a scripted story and not real experience. That's for the beginning.
Definitely. Go on then, read the post. Let's get into this.
Okay. I have to go back to Cahem's first post. I hope the links are working. California bar shooting was the topic they were discussing about, and that was on 8th of November. I think there were also posts on fakeologist.com about that. So now, there were discussions about witness accounts and reactions of the people, etc. Simon Shark wrote about a video and analyzed the reactions of people that suffered some stress, allegedly. Sacred Cow Slayer answered, Patrick's, then Honestly Now, and then so and then comes the post which led to the discussion. So I'm reading the whole post. Cahen, Monday, November 12, 3:54 a.m. Social norms are a very powerful modifier of behavior. Having been in a bar shooting where two people died and three people were injured from gunfire, I have the advantage of telling my story regardless of social norms. What I experienced was that immediately is big letters, Immediately, big letters, when the gunfire started, the establishment emptied out. I'm sorry. People ran past the shooter before the gunfire ceased. People got the heck out. No one, big letters, stayed behind to get under blankets. Just a minute, I'm interrupting the reading to put the link into the Discord live stream chat, live stream show notes, whatever, so that you can see it also. That's what I mean. I'm continuing. No one stayed behind to get under blankets or to be hugged by other partygoers for emotional comfort or to give statements to the media. Those who stayed behind needed immediate emergency medical assistance. There were exactly 3 people who needed emergency medical assistance, so only 3 people stayed behind. The people who needed emotional comfort or blankets received them at home where it was safe with loved ones. Thing is, at the time of the shooting, as I recall, no one knew how many shooters were in the vicinity, even though the first shooter stopped after he emptied his clip. How does one know for sure if he is the only shooter? The natural instinct was to err on the side of caution and leave before any other shooters opened fire. Since I was in a pile of people with my daughter up by the stage who hadn't been able to escape, I was able to witness the entire event. People got the heck out. With big letters, this last sentence. Safety is at home, not at the bar where people are getting shot. And certainly not outside the bar where one is out in the open and a target where more shooters would be waiting. I call shenanigans on any shooting event where people hang out afterwards to talk to the media and whatnot.
Yeah, stay at home is the underlying message.
So she was arguing that the previous videos that were analyzed were obviously fake because the people were hanging around and being comforted,
yeah,
etc.
She slips into this, her authority of experience. So, is that the first time she's ever mentioned it? Or is that, and then, go on, carry on then. Did it become an issue? How did it become an issue?
It became an issue. Well, actually, there was an issue already which I had mentioned, which Observer brought also today, that Cahem, I remember that very clearly because it was in the period of time where I was working with Gaia together, and there was the 14th of February, what is this festivity with the flowers? For the 14th of February, this festivity, and there was the Parkland shooting, and Cahem posted on Clues Forum 1 or 2 days later that some friend, good friend of her, knows somebody who knows the father of one of the... She rose the hypothesis that somebody could have died, really, in that event of the Parkland shooting, which was 2,000,000,000% fake. So this was a very, very strange post of Cahem, and I didn't pay attention because I was not interested in discussing from that point of view. It was interesting to see that cluesforum.info did not react in some way. Although, for example, the reaction about Brian Staveley, which was one of the points that I left Fakeologist.com and Clues Forum and everything, because it was for me something like a strong indication for Brian Staveley to be a fake persona if Clues Forum says that, you know. And now they do not raise any question if Cahem tells the world she knows somebody that knows somebody that died in Parkland. So what's the matter here? So now it continues, but I don't feel actually very good now. because I should have to read all these posts, and maybe it's better for anyone to read them themselves so that they can follow really what the discussion was.
Well, did someone call her out on it? Then is that what happened?
Yes, someone called her out, and yes, maybe we can read that because no, I think I'll give a synopsis of what happened. Observer called her out and asked her 15 questions, very rational questions about the event that she allegedly had witnessed. He also asked the moderators to insist in scrutinizing this event, because this event, as Kayhem described it, is obviously a story and not an event, not a... From what I am reading, this first post, it is not an event. Nobody who is in a shooting says afterwards, I was myself in a bar shooting. This is a branded phrase, which means that you have internalized the way the media present these events. It's not an experience you are describing. This is a story that Kayhem is telling, and she has to prove that it is not a story in my eyes, because I say of myself, as I said in the story with J.R. Adams, it is fake until proven real. So she is in the obligation to prove it, right?
Yeah, that's basically... Well, you have to have a lens that's totally opposite sometimes to see.
Do you believe it's possible to prove it to the contrary? I guess this is like a starting point for a lot of stuff, or maybe should be.
I think it is possible if you have the experience of an event. The experience is proof. Okay. Remember, if, for example, everyone has experiences, real experiences. Experiences are very grave moments in life. For example, if you almost drown in the sea, that's an experience. You never forget it.
Well,
you tell the story of your experience, you are believable if you tell the experience. You understand what I mean? It is a way to verify experience out of the telling of the experience. This is something that is actually a human way to discern between lies and truth. In the media, we do not have this possibility, because in the media we just get some texts and we have to analyze, does that sound real or not? But if you speak with somebody, you can really understand if he's telling you the truth or not.
I think
about an experience, not about anything.
Right. I don't know, you know, I think we can assume that we can tell the difference between whether they're telling the truth or not, but I don't know any empirical way that you could test that, you know, for things for which you have no personal subjective experience with yourself, or objective experience with yourself either. You know, and just like you've said, no two experiences are the same, which is, I totally agree with, you know, there's no, you know, your near drowning experience might be radically different than someone else's. And while they have very many similar overlapping, you know, components, you know, is there a non-arbitrary way to distinguish, you know? And I don't know that there is.
The problem with first of all, you know, there is a problem if we abstractly meaning, I mean myself, but I don't want to mean my ego. That's so I say we. Do we have the right to scrutinize a story like that, told by Kayhem, which is a respected personality in this community? I say yes, we have the right and we have the obligation to do so.
I thought that's what they did with other people. That's what the site does. You think that they're sorting people out, they're kind of getting, you know, isn't that what's supposed to be the idea?
Yes, the idea is that we scrutinize public information, is deceptive and strategically placed in the public sphere in order to manipulate decisions, emotions, consume, whatever.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant with about that comment, actually. I got your meaning about what you wanted to say about the comment, yeah, what you were bringing up, but the message at the end, the message was, only at home are you safe. It was interesting.
Yes, that's
only
also interesting.
Only at home are you safe. You know, stay, you know, keep calm, stay at home. Stay at home.
I think the scrutinizing, I was operating under the position that the scrutinizing thing was a given. You know, that it's a given.
Yeah,
that's,
me too.
You know, so yeah. If that has to be established, though, I would vote on the side that yes, it's okay to scrutinize. You know,
was like I was saying before. It's welcome to the masked ball for most people. Yeah, I mean, I use my real name basically. So, and that's the thing. You can't know unless you. So I'm going with my real name. Let's see what's going on, because otherwise it's a masked ball. Everyone has a different name. Right away, people are allowed to behave slightly differently as they would before because they've put a mask on. I mean, you know, under the mask is another mask, but that's another story. Here, the fact about chilling and things like that only comes up because of the masks. Otherwise, it would just be character traits. You know what she's like, you know what he's like, blah, 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 you know?
But because I'm not sure I get you. Can you speak a little bit more about
well, what I'm... If you come into a place like this, everyone's got a different name.
Yeah.
So, and then when it comes down, and then you make a statement like this, it comes down to authenticity, it comes down to believability, et cetera, et cetera. But you're using a different name. You're using a pseudonym. Who are you? Yeah. Right? And some people don't seem to mind their real name slips out or whatever. Yeah. But most of the time, you know, this is the thing about the internet anyway. Everybody can hide behind a mask. And in hiding behind a mask, you can, I don't know, you become a this public persona behind this mask, right? And
yes, so you are representing only the content of what is diffused from you.
Yeah.
You do not represent a character in real life, and that's not in the representation that you're doing. Your life is out of that. You're just here with what you present here. So it's a part of your person or... of your existence.
Yes, but to complicate matters, everybody then says they are just normal, authentic people. They're not in any way connected to any nefarious three-letter organizations or anything like that. They're just ordinary people, but they have this code name, yeah, and they use this code name instead of their real name. And they come from a city. They don't come from a street or an address or they come from. We don't know who they are. And then when things like this happen, then obviously there's this whole different element. Everybody knew who everybody was. You know, this is the end. What you know? I think you know.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, but what? So how does this relate?
Well, it's actually the nature of the platform. So immediately someone comes in. Then so yeah, okay. So then if you dedicate the platform to Fakeology, as these platforms are, those are the rules of the game, and that's why I don't usually do any podcasts or anything like that because I haven't got that much to contribute. In research as far as Fakeology is concerned, yeah. I'm more interested in what does it mean, you know, and all that. And let's keep. But in this case, talking about this, like, it did also remind you immediately of the John Adams thing. You're right.
It's exactly the same story.
Well, it was the same thing. As soon as this comes up, I think, oh, here we go again. Yeah, it's that merry-go-round. If you bring something like that to Fakeologists, if you bring something and say, hey guys, I think this is real, right? Okay, now it's going to be dicey, right? So, and it's got to be perfect, otherwise, and that's the interesting thing, we need a control, we need something real to see how, that nobody knows about.
No, I don't think so, because we have many real events in our real life, we do not have to bring them here to compare them.
Well, I think you're saying the problem is that there's no, without this public control, then there's like, every real is just subject to discredit. You know, I'm not discrediting because that implies that it's actually discreditable, but like just being called fake, you know, without a control, which, and I hate to be like a collectivist, but without like some kind of standard where everyone could say, you know, I agree that this is real, you know, then it's difficult to not just, you know, say, well, I think it's fake. You know, okay, well, on what grounds? Well, on the same arbitrary grounds upon which I say all these other things are fake. You know, because there are times where we say things that the way, I mean, maybe it's not true for everyone, but for me, I recognize that I apply my own, you know, measure of these things with quite a bit of, you know, inconsistency and arbitrariness. You know, for one thing, the numbers might mean something. The next day, in the next story, they might not to me, you know? Well, then it gets back into the why. Well, why this one and not that one? Well, ultimately, it's just because I choose it, you know? And that's what it'll reduce down to in the end. It won't be some kind of scientific, you know, formula that I have. It won't be any kind of vining rod. It'll just be that because I want it to be, or I choose it, or it's what I feel, something like that. And that's, you know, I think all these things kind of boil down to that oblivion, because you're always trying to answer the why, right? Like, it's the, well, why did that happen? But that presupposes that the why is an answerable question. And I'm not sure that it is, you know? How do you know that you can ever know why? I think there's a lot more evidence that you won't be able to know why, ever, for anything, right? Because how could you? How could you, what's the standard by which you would be satisfied that knowing why has been answered? Because you'll never know if they're just lying. You'll never know.
How come? That's what you can...
or what happened? You know, what did this lead to? What did it come from and what did it lead to? It's never, you know, well, why did they do this? I think Faye one time said that, the purpose of PSYOPs is to affect psychology. And I thought brilliant. I thought that was like the most brilliant summing up of what they are.
That's true. And this is, because there is the thing of like, okay, you look at the way that people react to these shootings and things. It might look fake, you know, to a lot of us and everything, yeah, but for other people, be learning how to behave from that.
Yes.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah,
this is how you react when things like that happen. You've got to be like this. And I mean, and I've seen that in natural all the time.
You know? I've been guilty of it myself, you know? Like, not
and I
from
remember,
the shooting thing, but from adopting the language and the framework by which it was interpreted before I was more aware of it, that being done. You know?
My cousin, he had a friend, and he fell off a roof at a party, and he was in intensive care. And at some point, the way they were all clustering around, hugging each other, it was a big hug fest. And I was thinking, you know, they were really using it. Maybe they needed it. It was cathartic. They all went around hugging each other. And in England, they don't hug each other very often, you know? Now they've got a reason to hug each other. And for me, it was all a bit over the top. And he hasn't died yet. Hang on. In fact, I thought it was a bit unhealthy, you know? Give him a chance. You'd be having if he's already dead. And he did pull through. That's why I'm talking about it so lightly. It's okay. But, you know, it's like very cathartic. People, they need it. They need, it's probably, you know, stellvertreten, what's that? substitute for a deeper emotion that is real, but they can jump on that and use it to, in some way, express what they really feel, which is probably just, you know, difficult to explain, just being caught in this world as it is. There's the whole psychology of it. That's the whole thing. Okay, we can see these things are fake. We've got all this extra information other people don't take on. They open such a bag of questions. And that's, I'm interested in that. And I will have to open up another sort of sidebar for philosophical musings of what the whole thing means and where it's going. And the more sort of, there are better minds than mine on this platform that can look into social engineering and get above. Johnny said it too. Johnny said it to a degree, doesn't look at every single one now, because after a while you just think, oh yeah. You skirt over it and then you've fallen into a belief system. You don't know, because you've really got to look at them all, but you can't be bothered because every time you did look at them, it looks pretty fake, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know that you can't look into them all either. You know, you know that there's too many, right? And you know that there's the ones that you're not aware of, because the world of media is ubiquitous. And so from every small town to every major story, but what we call a major story is only a major story that we have access to. There's a billion things happening in Asia that I have no idea what the paper, you know, what their paper says, you know, and I only have the interpretation of what, you know, the language I speak says happened. And even, who knows if that even happened. So,
and that's why this site's a resource. Yeah. I look at it as a resource, and that's why I contribute, because it's a resource, you know, and some other people are doing the research I haven't got time for.
It's for me. Those deeper metaphysical questions and are the ones that are the most interesting, you know, and the reason for the pursuit in the first place. It's not to put some chart up with pins and threads connecting every little thing. That would be pointless for me. But like,
no, but it's great that someone's doing it.
Well, sure. But even then,
you can point to things, you know. No, that's great. This is all information. They're all the important blocks in the, or whatever you call it, you know, little pieces of the puzzle. They're great.
That assumes that the picture here, is a puzzle. There's a picture on the front of the box of what the puzzle looks like complete.
We haven't got the picture.
We just got to, but we don't even know how many pieces there are. You know? So you can find the pieces you have. We don't even know how many it could be. So it's more like, how do you thrive? How do you push forward?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, how do you thrive in this environment? That's a good...
Right, how do you live and thrive in an environment that can dynamically change from minute to minute, insofar as the things you once believed to be true, you are, you know, certain aren't anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. How do you keep forward, moving forward and thriving even? It helps to be around people who are familiar with the same kind of context you are.
Yeah, that's right, because it's quite amusing.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Where are you now? Where have you gone?
Where have I gone?
No, I mean, I can't follow you anymore. It has become very abstract.
Yeah, we are. That's why we don't usually do podcasts, you see.
Okay.
I don't know.
You have to keep this in mind.
Where's Denny? Denny's, sorry, Napoleon is our moderator. Is he still here?
No, he left. He left us. And I think he left also the platform.
If we waffle, we should go on.
But he said something that he has to wake up early tomorrow. You know, he's in 1 hour earlier than I am, and maybe it's 11 in the evening there.
It would be interesting to know also what people like Cypherlex, Unreal, and, you know, the people, what's the kind of the bigger game plan? I mean, Unreal, we know to a degree what he thinks. And, you know.
How do we know that?
I mean, does this.
What he thinks?
From his blogs and from what I've read and what I've listened to.
Okay, now I understand what you're saying, yes.
Yeah. And, but you know, this is still the crux point that's going on at the same time now in the Hoaxbusters forum, yeah? that John Le Bon's in there brawling, as they say. But this is, are the elite malign or benign? We're straight back to the polarity, of course. Are they malign or benign? Probably something somewhere in between. But it is, and the question is in itself very interesting, isn't it? You know, it's like, are we going in a healthy direction or not? That's always a question.
I think, you know, it's interesting. I was reading today about some stupid study on some stupid university, elite stuff, and they were doing research about what happens in the first second when you meet a person. Which are the criteria that your unconscious, let's say, whatever, I'm not sure I believe all this stuff, you know, but it's a good intro. And the two points that your unconscious level, whatever, evaluates in the first second that you meet a person is not how beautiful or how rich or how whatever it is, but it is how trustworthy is the person. And I was really impressed, you know, because I never thought about that. It is one of the most rare and the most necessary, existentially necessary things that humans are able to have and to live. Yeah, you know, if you are not trustworthy, you are nothing. And with such stories as J.R. Adams and Cahen, and Fecologist, who posted today a subtile hush, taking a position without doing it clearly, or maybe he did it because he wanted to enhance the discussion, the conflict. I don't know. I didn't follow the discussion on Discord because I was not allowed to join all the rooms in that moment.
If If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Okay, thank you for the interruption. Matty, are you still here?
I'm still here, yeah.
We lost original. Maybe he's on the road or something. I don't know.
That's a pity. Never mind.
It's okay for you to continue?
Yeah, for a bit.
For a bit, okay. So I was saying that trustworthiness is generally one of the highest worthy things or whatever, values or whatever humans need and are able to experience. And especially in this surrounding where we are only virtual personalities, there is much deception. There have been events with false voices and I don't know, many, many things. And it is also a field of interest for the media. I'm not talking about the CIA or the KGB. I'm talking about it's a field of interest. It's an object of research for university departments. It's an object for research for the media.
Yeah.
It's an interesting field. And we have only image, voice, and text to evaluate. If you lose in this field 1% of your trustworthiness, it is like 90% in the real world. So these events have this multiplicator of that there is no other field that you can verify it. How can I verify if Kayhem is saying the truth? From the text that she was writing, it is not convincing to me that she experienced anything like that. She is telling a story. I will read one sentence again, which impressed me the most. Yes, I'm here, but I'm searching for this, for the original post. Since I was in a pile of people with my daughter up by the stage, who hadn't been able to escape, I was able to witness the entire event. This is a sentence which that it's impossible for somebody who has a daughter in a pile of people in the midst of a gunfire in a bar where you don't know what is really going on and if you are alive or already dead and dreaming. This is not the sentence of an experience that happened to this person. It's a scripted sentence. It is not reliable. It is not trustworthy. And it makes me scrutinize the whole Clues Forum info because of the reactions of Sacred Cow Slayer, of Simon Shack.
How did they react?
And others. It is a long dialogue with multiple posts.
But you can surely you can sort of condense it down. Some people must have been defending her, and some people must have been, you know, accusing her of lying.
The most interesting point is that she did not answer any of the questions of Observer,
yeah.
And that the moderators and the owner of the platform said, we do not need to have the answers from her. If she wants, she can answer, but I will not demand it. So she is an exception of being scrutinized, as John Adams wanted to be an exception, because he has built up some trustworthiness. Okay, but you can lose the trustworthiness, but you can destroy the whole trustworthiness of 10 years within 1 second if you act like that.
Yeah, yeah.
J.R. Adams lost his trustworthiness because he obviously was lying and he did not answer any questions about what happened. Kayhem also lost all her trustworthiness in my eyes because she didn't react by explaining or trying to tell what happened. She kept hiding behind the moderators, although she is herself a moderator. So that's just on one level the interesting, let's say, elements. But the question is now, why would this happen? And why now? What's the problem? Why is that necessary? You know what I mean? And why is App also taking position in that direction to not scrutinize Cahill?
Faye, we are living in a post-A.A. Morris landscape.
Yes, I know. I have followed that story.
Right, so...
Very crazy story.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was definitely... That was the message at the end, you know. This one, you've got to believe in this one. Leave this one alone.
Yeah. What do you think, actually, about the A.A. Morris story? What was it about?
Yeah, that's what's going to be, you know, a Marie Celeste. It's going to be one of those, I don't know what we call it, but it's, what was he doing exactly? Why so long? And
it wasn't really so long. It was only 2 years.
Only 2 years, but consistently every day. Okay, he was only reading from Wikipedia, right?
Some say it was an AI program that was testing the capacities of this field of interest, you know.
Pretty good AI problem. The meltdown was pretty good too. You know, I don't know about that. I think it was somebody.
Not true. It was a meltdown. I actually don't believe in, I don't know.
I mean, the narrative that comes out is, you know, that he was working all along. He was working for this website, wasn't he? And to get ingratiate himself in this whole scene and become part of this scene, and at the end to sort of uncover everything and show us how absurd we are and dangerous, absurd and dangerous.
Yeah.
And you know, the next thing we know, we'll be picking up the newspapers and Chris Kendall will have.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was really kind of like, ooh, and then can he pull people on board? I mean, at one point, he had points, he had interesting points, and then this firework at the end.
Maybe it's just to scare younger people away, you know, because it is a new generation now coming to the age where they start. No, it's every 5 to 8 years there's a new generation interested, and since these platforms have been long living now, they have every 5 to 8 years they have to produce a new bunch of stuff. I actually categorize it like that, you know, to tell the younger guys, hey, what are you doing here? These guys are crazy. They have guns. They talk about veganism and they shoot at cats and I don't know, and mothers and daughters go to bars where there are shootings and crazy stuff. So leave them alone and
stay at home generation. Stay at home. You've got the internet. What do you want? Stay at home.
Stay at home. Exactly.
Order a pizza. Stay at home. Don't go anywhere. You know, which is kind of is happening on a large scale. People do, and we're included in that.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I have to say something also, which was one of my conclusions about the whole paranoia topic and suspicion topic. Suspicion is the master element of our time. Everything is under suspicion. That's the basis of everything, you know. And anyone who is not scrutinizing all the things that appear in his life is just not up to date. Because everything is suspicious.
Yeah. Well, it also presupposes that what we're talking about in here is naughty in some way, and we're not allowed to be talking about this. And if they come around and catch you, or if they really know you're doing it, it's like,
I would propose to rise exactly what you said just now to a big criterion for trustworthiness. At least for me, it is. It is if someone is willing to talk about the things that are happening. If someone just hides away or says, oh, stop this discussion. Oh, no, don't talk about Jair Adams.
No, I can understand that. I can understand that for other reasons. Basically, you know, this is a podcast about fakeology. And like I said, I'm not a researcher. And if Felix comes on or... other people come on, and then you've got some meat there. You can, oh, that's really interesting, and you've got some facts from someone who studied this thing and he can reel off the facts, and I can't do that very much. That's the reason I'm here. So I don't, that's another reason I didn't like to come on the podcast too much. But I am very interested in the whole platform and the whole, that's also, which is, you know, another interest in the conspiracy. Yes, it's being watched. We have an environment here. We have a virtual environment and people get together. And who's real, who's not, and all these bots and all these possibilities. And it is true, you get polarized. And so to navigate successfully, I think, and still enjoy yourself, basically, I accept everybody's real. I realized that's what I did after a while. I thought, well, they're all real, that's not a problem. And that's the only way, I think you could probably do both. You could say, well, they're all fake, and navigate just as successful. I don't know, for me it's more fun like that. This is who I am, right? This is my real name. You can check me out, right? So if I'm not allowed to do that, then I'm sure I'll get a knock on the door. And, you know, oh, they're in blue now. They used to be green. It's a pity. And they'll say, you shouldn't be doing this. Or I'll get something. But I don't think it's a problem. I mean, these are ideas. We're all on the cutting edge of, I don't know. I don't know what. So, you know, so I am interested. Let's get involved. Okay. And I was really interested because when this whole Shield thing came up, if you're just looking at it from outside, very difficult to determine what's going on. It's much easier to sort of accept people once I came in and started to talk to them. Yeah. So.
But you can always define, even from outside, if someone is trying to end a discussion or to continue a discussion.
Yeah.
Even if he or she does not say stop the discussion now, but just says. I don't know. Don't take it so seriously. Oh no, let's not be angry now. Oh wow, you're paranoid. You know.
Oh because yeah, I heard
in the
awful,
field,
yeah.
In the real world of suspicion, the only thing, the only instrument you really have is to talk more. talk more. Write more. Produce more.
It's very difficult. I mean, coming from England, yeah, we don't talk. We make jokes. We don't get serious, you know. And the Germans are, you're always so serious. Well, yeah, no sense of humour. And it's fun. It's a happy medium, you know. But it is true in England. After what I was like, if I hear another joke, don't I want to talk about this? It's serious now. And then on the other hand, in over here, it's like, we talk a lot. We talk a lot more in Germany.
Okay, just to for those who are maybe going to listen to this and in order so that it has the most of the info or not most of the info, just to close the topic, it continues that observer is let's say embarrassed that his questions are neither answered nor enhanced by Simon Schack or the other moderators, and he concludes that it will never be. He makes a last post 1 hour ago, and he recapitulates the 15 undeniably rational questions, which he believes should be discussed, and I agree 100% with him that questions should be discussed. Although they do not have to be discussed in that moment when he asks for them, he maybe could be a little bit more patient and wait for Kehem to take the opportunity to answer, etc. I'm not going to read them. They can be found on the topic that I put the link about.
I mean, this is, of course, it's only for most people. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake, or if you... you get carried away with your polemic. Maybe it's possible to. I mean, the more authority you've got, the more you're a figure within the scene. The harder it is to sort of kind of watch it. But she wrote that. It's not like even something you see, you say.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what this all means. I think it is. It is good to have hypotheses. It is good to have the discussions.
Yeah. And I'll put it under the file. This one, lay off this one. They really want, they don't, these guns are going. They lay off this one. We talk about the moon landing, talk about 9/11, talk about something else, but lay off this one, eh?
Yeah. I see what you mean. But you know, for me, it was very impressive because the Parkland shooting was that event, that constructed, staged event, with which the Democratic Party was trying to create or social engineer, as maybe others would say, the resistance and the youth that would carry on their shoulders the fight against guns and for gun controls and, of course, for gun sellings, as we know. It would be under the aegis, or how is the English word, of the Democrats. So this is also a political theatrical political level, that these events and these interventions of cluesforum.info have. They have a political character. They are in the whole thing, of course. If you have a platform that is working since 9 years now, I think it is, and suddenly you start saying, ah, parking shooting, there could be someone dead, and there, oh, I know, there was another one, blah, blah. Yeah. And you are close to that interpretation. That's a political, theatrical move. That's not just irrelevant.
No,
this contextualization is also important to understand, because truth has nothing to do with political theater, in my understanding.
No.
You have to throw overboard the quest for research and truth, recovery or reconstruction, if you are willing to implement or being implemented with a past, let's say, stance in one of these political theater levels that are going all the time. There is the other one is the white race political theater platform, which also is trying to let's say, contrive or dirty the waters all the time.
Muddy.
It's just not my whatever, not my thing, not my psychological point of view.
No, it's just a little bit like when you've got to get something through, something to do with the state or something like that, you have to have all the documents, you have to have the correct papers, no matter whether it's true or not, but you have to have them. Once you've got them, you'll get the stamp. And it's the same for them. As long as they've got the events, then they can get the Act of Parliament through, and then they can... They don't need us to believe them all.
Yeah.
So you watch it unfold. It's not... There's not. There were enough people who didn't believe in the moon landing at the time. I mean,
Was it like that? I was too young then.
This is what we're told. No, I don't know. Not at the time. I remember I watched it. I was six or something. Seven.
Not 10? 72 I watched. I think we have the same age, Martin.
62, yeah. So yeah. The moon landing was 69, wasn't it? 68, 69, I can't remember. 69.
Okay. I didn't watch that.
My parents got me out of bed to watch it.
Ah, okay.
Because it was very early in the morning or something. And I remember being very underwhelmed.
You couldn't see anything. It was just a grey...
It was really...
A shimmering surface.
My mother was trying to make it sound more dangerous than it looked to me. She said, they don't know. They might sink.
Yeah.
They don't know. They don't know what's going to happen. And then, it looked quite boring. And peep, peep, peep. And then I watched it and went back to bed.
I remember the pictures, but I think I didn't watch them at the time they were, broadcasted as live. I watched them some time later and was told that it was that they went to the moon and didn't impress me neither.
It's interesting. So, about, there must have been people at the time who thought, there were people who realized what television was and before then realized what papers were and everything.
Yeah.
It's never been not the case every now and then. It's used and it's actually used every now and then, turned against them. And, the populists up they come. So, here we go.
So, look, I'm thinking of going back once more to the previous topic in order to find the comment of Xylophilex.
He was absolutely certain it's not true.
The one up-posted.
Pretty certain.
Possible real one. Up-posted, possible real one. I don't understand. Sometimes he Sometimes I think he acts really suspicious, as he did, for example, when I tried to discuss with Brian Staveley about what had happened in the cluesforum.info platform, where they were accusing him of his photos, and I wanted for myself to find out. I was not part, I was not talking as a Clues Forum member or something. I just wanted, and actually he replied to me and then jumped into the discussion and said, oh, these are old stories. Hey, stop, why are you stopping my discussion with Brian? This is my cup of tea, this is not yours. Let me do it if he wants, and I want, what do you matter? So I don't understand all the time what he's doing, but I think
he was being polite, probably.
Yes, it could be, yes, that he's trying to be polite. I don't know, because I don't know him in real life, and I cannot estimate him. He's not a real person in my life. But from what I have seen, he's trying to keep a quote-unquote neutral stance in order to preserve the platform for discussions which can be quite controversial without losing the whole platform. And sometimes he comes under suspicion because of that.
Well,
but,
under the law of conspiracy, yes, he's obviously part of the Pantheon.
He's obviously part of the Pantheon, but on the other hand, he offers this platform, and this platform has the value that it does not, in most of the cases, it does not verneinen oder verbieten.
Yeah, reject.
Reject discussions about any topics that have to do with psychology. Yeah. Forbid, yes, to forbid. Yes, so...
This is the strange thing. So as soon as this... I mean, I think also the fact that it doesn't take... You know, it's on donate only. There's all sorts of aspects to this that makes this an interesting website. And we'll actually... I mean, I've never been anywhere else to try to involve myself in any other discussions on other shows or anything like that, or ever phoned in or anything. And it was only because of that old John Adams thing, and very often thinking, well, how can I know? Well, you'd have to talk with these people. You have to go around and talk to these people. That's the only way you can know if they're real or not. Or to what? Because everyone's shilling something, even if it's only their own ideas and ideologies and beliefs, you know? People like, you know, an ounce of salt, you know, we know what he's shilling. So he's very trustworthy because you know exactly what he's doing. He's very upfront, very open about it. That's what I'm doing, yeah? So, and there are these Australians, they've met each other. You know, if they're not real people, then they're doing a really good act. So hats off. You know, then they should get an Oscar. And
you know something, you remind me now on something, if I may interrupt you though, that, you know, always if there is a topic, as that it was, for example, with J.R. Adams or now with Cahen and Simon Shark, etc., end up, the discussion goes directly into the two possibilities. It's a paid shill or it's not a paid shill. But that's exactly the false hypothesis.
Absolutely.
And I think that this is a dichotomy that is actually part of the conspiracy, as Unreal would call it. Because that is not, these are not the factual possibilities. The factual possibilities are that many, many guys, and Unreal has proven it with his compilation of productions in the conspiracy realm in the last 8 years, that there is too much production by too less people appearing always under another name and with the same voice, a little bit changed. You know, so you have, for example, Dave McGowan as Dr. Utter or whatever. I don't know.
And I don't believe that.
These are just media, fake media characters that are producing conspiracy content it is useful for several agendas. And, of course, this is kind of intelligence. That's the main intelligence work.
That was really interesting, wasn't it? And it starts off with Gnostic media. You get to, into mushrooms and hallucinogenics.
Yes.
And at the end, he's now Logos. He was in disguise all the time. And
Now it's Logos Media. My God. And they are talking about some, you know, what was some topics that they have completely, what's the English expression for weg vom Fenster? You have to translate me now.
Okay, weg vom Fenster.
Completely, you know, there are witchcraft in the I don't know, reptilians or even Brian Stavely, you know, he comes out with a 9/11 pioneer, and then he goes Mandela every day with the Star Wars swords and okay, come here and talk about that if you want, dear Brian, and I want to discuss with you about that, and I hope up. I will not say anything if we want to talk about it. I believe actually he won't. Maybe it was just because he was kind in that moment about Brian Stavely, or he wanted to avoid conflict or something.
You've got to keep the website going. We now our own content.
We have to discuss about this. Yes, we have to discuss about this news.
Postmodern sort of idea, isn't it?
Yes.
For me, as well as a long time. Well, not a long time, but more for a long period of time, all I did was listen. It was another form of radio. I can listen to a BBC program, I listen to an ARD program, and then I can listen to, you know, Fakeologist, and then I can listen to any of the others that I used to listen to at the time, yeah. And step into this situation, right, to be then, oh, right, you could be then part of you could be a target now, you could be, you're a voice, you're a name. Right?
Yeah.
So that was the idea. How do I step in? So I step in myself and see what happens. At least I've got a control.
Yeah, I think it's cool that you are here, and I'm really happy I'm back, and I'm also, let's say, accepted because I left, and I did also things that were not very okay, and I found Gaia on. I went to Hoaxbusters under another name and tried to find Gaia and talked with him. And explain to him that I'm going to leave the whole platform. It just makes me sick in the head. And I cannot discern anything. Yeah, I was really sure Gaia is also some shill, you know, because he was trying to put all the numerologies on the Fakopedia and all this German Nazi stuff. And I live in a country where it is actually not very welcome if you work with this material. So it was for me very not so okay position that he was expressing
there. Yeah,
something like that. Okay.
Yeah, but then what do you think now?
About what?
About Gaia. Do you still think he's a shill? Do you still think he's...
I don't know, but I haven't... I do not have any... how can I say it? I think actually... what happened between me and Gaia on the Fakopedia was also part of a big misunderstanding that he thought he had asked me, but I did not get, I had not get the messages of him, and I reacted, he reacted, so it started very stupidly, and then we went both paranoid, and we thought of each other that, doing bullshit, etc. I regret it, and I apologize for that, and I'm not going to hinder him. If he wants to go to the Wikipedia and work on it, it's okay for me. I'm not going to continue there, because it doesn't make any sense for me. Yeah. The collection of all this material needs a big collective to do it, and two persons is not enough for doing that.
No.
And actually,
everybody contributes. That's,
exactly. And I did not really have the feeling that many people here on Fakeologist.com and on Clues Forum are really interested in this Fakopedia project.
Yeah.
Because nobody started writing there, or...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's like I said, I think that's the strange thing. There are only a few real researchers as such on the site to keep it ticking over. And mostly here, mostly Cyphilix. I mean, without Cyphilix. And so...
Unreal is also a real researcher, I think. Rachel is, I think, also, as far as I have listened to her material, she has some specific topics that she is working very deeply with. But it is real research that she does.
But there on also on the site itself, if you're just on the site, you don't go on the Discord and things like that. If you're on the site,
yeah.
I imagine I haven't kind of browsed that. So I mean, yeah, I shouldn't say anything. I might be doing someone a disservice. That's true. But what I mean is there is, as you know, reiterating what Johnny said. I think with when you get to a point when you say, okay, right, I accept it. I've got the point. You don't have to look at every little one because I've got the point, basically, especially the big media events. Yeah. And so then what's this, what am I going to do with that? How do I live with that? And you're talking about also, you know, you wanting to go big, or trying to get other people involved. And I was, I think this is a lot of, if you, to come from a very, very normal mindset into this, this is heavy dope. Yeah,
that's a good expression for it. It's heavy truth. It's heavy reality. Reality is the real dope.
But it is. Yeah. It's like, you know, that's why we appear. There was this young guy, he was knocking around the disco once, he was 17, he said, you know. Everybody was already saying, no, you're not, you're this other guy, and you're you're someone else, and you're just pretending and everything. And I don't know, okay, just accepting for what he is. He was telling me about college and everything. He sounded pretty genuine. Maybe he wasn't, I don't know. But I said, so, you know, I did say to him then, so how do we appear? We must be the crazy end of the end of the internet, the edge of the internet. And he said, no, you're far beyond that.
Okay. I don't know. The walls of the fakeologist.com website is about $3,000 on Alexa, if you go look at it.
Really? How did you find
that? So it's not very high. Yeah, you just have to search on Google.
And how does it become, how do they ascertain exactly what it's worth?
Oh, I think they have these tools, you know, about how much traffic and how much content and how much blah, blah, blah. Some numbers, and they evaluate it.
So
it's not very worth. Very much it was. It's not Tesla, for example.
Yeah.
But well, it is...
I've landed here because it is a very comfortable and it's a nice site to be on. And from my experience up until now, you can have, people can have a fight, but they don't get too hit up about it. Things continue. That was a strange thing. You're right, the whole thing about John Adams. Very strange, very strange.
You were not... Were you on the platform at that time? I don't know really what was it.
I came looking for John Adams because Hoaxbusters went haywire. I was looking for John Adams because at that time I was very into John Adams.
Look, this is now a very important topic. We do not have to discuss about it, you know, if you don't have enough time or something. It's also late, but just to mention it once. After this story with John Adams, nothing is clear for nobody. Only for those who maybe knew already or are in an inner cycle, or I don't know. I have no idea if such thing exists. But for me, nothing is clear. J.R. Adams could be a person with a voice morpher, because he never had any clear presence in audio. It could be just one of these guys who presents some books which are written 10 years later and presented on Amazon as if they were written in 2006 or something. I don't care. I really don't care. He left the platform because he had to change his level. I don't know. Yeah. But I want to discuss with those who are here what they think about it. I want to know what others think, how they interpret it. I want to put my own thoughts in. So that we produce some hypotheses about this topic, you know?
You're left in liminalness land. We were talking about this with OS. It's not, but he's not here. But you're left in liminalness land, haven't you? You've got quadratic equations going. You've got three or four narratives that might fit. It could genuinely be that this wife knew this woman, and it's genuine, and she genuinely died. And then he tried to present it to us, and now
this is proven beyond any. Out. This has been proven by Theron Downvale and Unreal. They did research on that story. There was no such accident.
So absolutely, without a doubt. Okay, so that's...
According to the experts of fecology, I'm not an expert.
Okay.
I'm just a consumer and a participant.
I'm just saying, the narrative, right? I think this is the narrative that some other people who stood with John will believe, which is that... Yeah, that was genuinely the case, and then you could see how crazy all these fakeologists are, right? So obviously you don't want anything to do with them anymore.
Yeah.
All right, so that's that one narrative. Like the other extreme is, of course, the whole thing has been a lead up to some sort of, I mean, if they're supposed to become kind of icons in the scene, they're supposed to become something and then they disintegrate.
Yes. Why do they do that?
It's like it gives you the idea this stuff we're talking about is too hot to handle, right? If you talk about this stuff, you will be hounded, or you'll go crazy, or you'll...
So it's producing fear.
Yeah.
It's producing fear and self-censorship.
Yeah, you're not allowed to talk about this stuff, right?
Yes, you're not allowed to talk nowhere, not even here. No. That's the main message, you know, because this is the place where actually you should have to talk about such questions as Observer raised today.
Well, yeah, if you're really genuinely, I think, coming at it with a position, let's have a look at this, then that's a question that you can't avoid.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Look, I have to say something else, because I think that's also forgotten many times. There could be also other reasons, completely other reasons, why people hide or use a voice morpher or have two or three personalities. Maybe they don't, for example, maybe they are trying to protect themselves.
Absolutely. I mean,
they're trying to...
Yeah.
It's also possible, for example, that, I don't know, that they hide in between other platforms. And to be honest, if you want to survive as a researcher, whatever that means, or analyst or deconstructionist of media deception and media deceptive tactics, that's one of the best ways you can have, to be non-recognizable as a truther. So this could also be a strategy. I don't know if J.R. Adams was one of these guys, or if he was a military guy, or if he was a Dave McGowan, or if he was, I don't know.
It would be nice to talk to him. I mean, I'd still love to talk to him.
Yes, me too.
No problem there.
Although the topics that he was, mainly diving into were all out of the conspiracy realm, the constructed conspiracy realm, you know, with the 60s CIA music and Canyon and Jim Morrison and all this pop stuff that is just an industry, a twofold industry, presenting the conspiracy as the attractor, as the emotional hook for selling all this stupid stuff to the teenagers.
Yeah, but I did because I read, Weird Scenes.
Did you read it?
Yeah, and there are no footnotes, there are no references.
Yeah,
there are in the other book, but there aren't in this. And I always wondered why they took that so on faith, you know. And
because it's a CIA production, I tell you.
Everything's a CIA production.
Of course, yeah.
But, yeah.
And the interesting point is there is some guy on YouTube who, I don't remember now, I was following it a year ago. He was always writing in the comments that he was himself a musician in the Canyon, blah, 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 and he knew of this and that and that and that and that, and he was deconstructing the whole meaning of what Tim Kelly, for example, was saying about the Canyon and about John Adams and this whole California cult, and it's all about creating cults, thrills, and selling quotes.
Well, for them, it was also about breaking up the Catholic Church, which they, and all that.
Yes.
So that's their angle, isn't it?
Yes, I cannot really follow that because I'm not so into. I have not enough knowledge about this, but I listened to one podcast of Tim Kelly about the Catholic Church with the. I don't remember the guy. Who was it?
Yeah. He's got Perloff and Michael E. Jones.
Ah, James Perloff or Jim Perloff?
Yeah, I think so. One of those.
James Perloff. The one with the CFR, who also believes Israel did 9/11, this narrative.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, the Israel, yes, okay. This is a big scene also, you know, the Israel did it.
Yeah.
And it's just so half-blind, you know, because how is it possible that Israel did it? What does that mean at all? Let's just, you know, It's like building a house without any material. It's not possible. You cannot differentiate the mechanics of power today in these categories of nation states. Israel is not a nation state. The United States is not a nation state. It's an international corporate network of decision makers, and it is concrete how many they are. About 2,500. No, it's not a mystery topic. It is always created as a mystery, but it's not the reality about it.
No, that's the one conversation we don't want. We don't want a conversation about that dichotomy.
Yes, that's really funny, yeah.
That's why we've got loads of others. Is it true or isn't it? Not
true. Not true. Wonderful country, by the way.
I mean, John Adams, yeah. Just to make sure, John Adams, because he had such a slow way of talking and long pauses.
It was clearly voice morphing.
It sort of...
Come on.
It wasn't, no, he just didn't...
It was... Of course, I'm
100%
sure. At that time, I didn't know anything about this. I just knew that it's some technology. I thought it was something like exotic for me, but after all that happened... And after App made a call at the show of Brian Staveley saying that he is Palo Valo, and this was clearly up in my ears, unless it was not up and it was somebody else, I'm sorry if that is the case, but I was sure it is up, so I said, Jesus Christ, they're all using the voice morphing for fun, just to call in and say, hello, Palo Valo, I'm your old friend, I want to tell you hello. So it was a staged stuff, and then I downloaded one of these Voxit or Voxal, or I don't know the name. I haven't got it anymore because you have to pay after 30 days.
And you have only. Could you do it real time, or did you have to put the recording through it?
I didn't use it for me because I was not on the platform at that time. I was just doing research, and I used it for transforming J.R. Adams to. What is the name of the partner of Tim Kelly?
Oh, yeah, the partner. Oh, Joseph Atwell.
Joe Atwell, yeah. So I think Joe Atwell could have been playing also John Adams with the voice model because I tried, I manipulated some stuff there and it sounded really like John Adams afterwards. And I tried to manipulate App's voice and Simon Shack's voice and... Unreal's voice and my own voice, you know, it's so much possible with this thing, and you can never recognize it.
Yeah,
and Brian Staveley's voice, etc. So, you know, for me, it doesn't matter. It's just if they do it for fun or if they do it because they have to be paid for two roles, or if John Le Bon does pitch up his voice to sound more smart, or I don't know what he does, you know, to sound more adult or whatever. I don't care, but I want to discuss about the content that we are here researching, the ecological content. And if I am allowed to do that, I will stay and I will try to find out what my questions are, you know. And my questions are actually not about, if K.M. was in a bar shooting. Nobody who has witnessed any violent crime in his real life would ever say, I was in a bar shooting. That's a media brand, you know. I have witnessed a violent event in my life, really. And it's very difficult to talk about it. And it's also 35 years ago. And since I am here on the Fecologist platform, I'm not even sure it was real anymore. I'm researching it. I'm trying to find out, was it a real person or was it just fake in order to incite the demos, etc. in Athens?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stage theatre, some stagecraft.
So yes, I'm sure that the discussion about voice morphing is very interesting and should be done by those who are interested in it. It is not going to prove, I think, anything other than it is a technology that is used. Why not? Why would it not be used? We use also Discord because it is possible.
Yeah, but it's very open-ended. So
are you sure
that's possible? Yeah, we can't deny that. But it's a lot of effort to go to. But yeah, maybe it's all that is possible. It is possible, definitely.
I have never heard any.
I noticed that it was. I have to talk to these people. I never noticed that anything. I mean, and I do, you know.
Yes, me neither in the beginning. But if you,
somebody has to go back and listen again.
But looking back or listening back, if you listen to J.R. Adams' afternoon commute, he was always on some crappy, I don't know, connection. I'm sorry, if you do such an important thing, please buy a headphone for $20. That's not so expensive. Even I have bought one.
Oh yeah, that was all part of the idea that he's driving home. And sometimes it took him a couple of hours.
Yeah, he was not always driving home, but he had always a crappy connection and a very bad voice morphing.
Like I said, he took me down. I must admit, at the end, I was listening to things about all the various denominations of Christian faith in California and their linkings to. And I was thinking, I'm only listening to this because I like his voice so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because I'm not really interested anymore, but I like his voice. And I like him when he talks and I was definitely hypnotized.
By John Adams?
And I would say so, yeah. I really got into John Adams. And I like listening to him talk and I like listening to
him. I was also hypnotized, but not with the good meaning of it, that it was a little bit too lame. And I actually was thinking it was a stylistic element that he was using, you know, in order to present himself very authoritarian and well-read, etc. And as I realized, he avoided discussing the topics that he was raising. He didn't. He was talking always about the Frankfurt School, which for me is my right pocket in my trousers.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to talk about the content of the books. He just said, "Oh, the guys were working for the CIA. Thank you. All the universities are working for the CIA."
Oh, there was lots
so what's
of stuff.
News?
There was lots of stuff I didn't agree with, but I must admit, the voice. No, that's okay. Just move on.
Yeah. Or this other episode about the two Bobbies, which was risen by some. I don't know by whom it was risen, and I listened to it. It was a psychologist, Safe Chat. I think it was Taron Downway. I don't know who that is. It's some guy who is writing on the psychologist.com. And also Anaria. And, you know, they presented it there, and when I listened to it, I was 100% sure it's Chris Kenter. But I can also be mistaken, because I am not American. If I hear American, for me, it's American, just, well, you know.
Yeah, I listened to that one. That was a lot closer. That was a closer call, that's true.
And maybe they were just making fun, you know. Maybe they are not shills, but they just wanted to make fun of themselves. I don't know. Doesn't matter. They are not here. They are not talking anymore.
No. They were very difficult. Well, I mean, I could contact them, but they didn't go very far. And you couldn't contact Jay Dyer at all. He was strange.
Jay Dyer, okay, he's a personality on the internet.
Yeah,
you can just contact him.
At the beginning, right at the beginning, it was before he was that big.
I don't know.
They still were quite sort of untouchable in a certain way. Yeah.
I think he was one time, so maybe more, one or two times he was also on Hoaxbusters call. Jay Dyer.
All the time. They were the afternoon commute. And yeah, he was on a lot. They were this trio. Yeah. Off they went.
Yeah, and that's now another part
into veganism. Yeah. So where are we going now? What? We're going after the vegans? Do you think they're a threat?
But Jay Dyer, as he says himself, Jay Dyer had a very high IQ when he was a child, and he went to a special school in California, and he was studying philosophy and made his master's in, I think, in...
Dropped out.
No. I think he made his master's.
Did he? I thought
the first book. No. His first book was his master's thesis. The book about this Hollywood secret stuff. I don't know, cult or all this. It's the whole the same pattern. You know, a little thrill, a little dark, a little sex in the dark. The sides of the unsubconscious or whatever, a little violence, all this stuff this is the platform of the conspiracy realm, and it's absolutely in there.
This is the platform.
Yeah. What I cannot understand is that they are cooperating all together in this network 21st Century Wire, I think, with Patrick Henningsen and other guys from England. And they are, let's say, in the left segment of the analysis. They are pro-Russia and pro-Putin and orthodoxy. And what is that?
You never see a bad article about Russia or Putin or anything on 21st Century Wireless.
Yes. So I personally suppose that's also, you know, quote-unquote, CIA media, controlling the left, controlling the right,
well,
controlling
that's
everything.
Who they meant when they're talking about, you know, Russia hacking the internet and things like this. And these are partly the people they mean, aren't they? But they don't close them down. They don't get closed down. They're still running.
Yeah, they also they always complain about they were hacked and they were attacked, etc. But that's also part of the thrill to be attacked.
Yeah.
If you are being attacked, you are important. you get some important marks.
Sure, it's a bit more exciting, that's right. It's
like, Ach, Marty. Difficult scene, but interesting. And I think we didn't go too far by discussing about all this stuff. Otherwise, we will mention tomorrow in the comments. I get some thumbs down again. I don't mind.
These thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, never mind. We're all Caesar here.
What do you sing, if I may ask, with your nice voice? Do you sing English or German? Or what is the music you are making?
Mostly English. Well, I make folk music with a folk band. And then sort of, I don't know.
Medieval, or because you went to some medieval festivals.
Yeah, we do play on medieval festivals because they are incredible. The punk theme, I used to play in a punk band and a crossover band. And I lived in Kiefenstrasse, which is one of those squatted streets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we started the punk.
Something like the Pogues?
Yeah, acoustically more like the Pogues, but not so Irish. I mean, not so deedly deedly. A little bit more European.
Okay, that's a deedly deedly. And the European is more melancholic than medieval, isn't
it?
Yeah,
a little bit more melancholic. Or
do you know the Fire Festival in Switzerland?
Brazen. Fire Festival?
Yes, that's in Signau.
No, we've not been there.
You have not been there? That's one of the best of this type, you know, with without fossil energy and without consume, and you have to bring everything and you have to take your rubbish away. It's really very nice.
I know, usually there's stages and amplifiers now. At the beginning, it was a lot less amplified, and it was a lot more authentic. And there were even markets going around claiming to be authentic, and you couldn't have any zips or anything like this, and they were very strange, but they went out of business. It didn't work.
Okay.
But the scene on itself is really a grassroots scene. It has nothing to do with any hype or anything. It's just, you know, on every weekend, summer, there are, I don't know, loads of these markets.
Oh, yes, I know. The woods are full of music in Switzerland in the summer.
Yeah, right. Switzerland's amazing, yeah. I've got a friend in Zurich.
Yeah.
Zurich. It's just festival after festival. Everywhere's music. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's great for us if we get a job in Switzerland. It's like, Swiss money, you know?
Yes, okay. That's a difference, of course.
Yeah. It's like the East coming to the West.
So maybe I will meet you in some of these festivals.
Yeah, well, somewhere. I'll know next time we're down there, I'll let you know where we are.
Oh, that's cool, yeah. I actually go only to this fire festival, and not every year, because it makes me tired, and I don't go for a week. This lasts for 1 week, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you stay in the tents, and you have to wash the clothes there, etc. And you have to you have to drive with a bicycle if you want to cook water, you know, because they don't have fossil energy. You have always to use the bike. That's funny.
No. The medieval scene's not like that. They've got, you know, behind the tent flap, they've got all the mod cons. It's just pretend, you know. They all go and have a shower at the end of the day.
Okay.
All right, yeah.
Cool. So, let's meet again.
Yeah, Yes, let's end this podcast. And how do you end it? Somebody's professional has to end it and say.
I think that is app that is doing that. He is always putting a voice in the end. Thank you, app, and thank you, everybody. And hopefully we meet again and talk more. Bye-bye, Matti.
Bye-bye, Faye.
Hello, everybody. This is Soetic Luna from Florida, and you're listening to Fake Colleges Radio at fakecolleges.com.